His heart seeing foreign cars filled with fuel, it isn't ours, and wearing cotton we didn't grow. He's got the red, white, blue, blind hound farm, silver fly tattoo on his left arm. Spent a little more in the store for a tag in the back and says USA. He won't buy nothing that he can't fix, with WD-40 and a Craftsman wrench. He ain't prejudiced.
Welcome back, little Toby Keith. Made in America, baby. God bless America. Your handsome and humble host, Ray I. From the Bunker Midwest Outdoor Studios, 590 The Fan. Having a wonderful Saturday morning here. Scoot in real close to that campfire. Get you another cup of Thomas coffee. Yeah, baby. Matty G. Volger Vogler. Peanut. Tiny Tim. What a crew. The Morning Zoo. Wow. Aren't we having a fun Saturday morning?
It's a good one.
And they call this work.
It's amazing.
We have the really? June issue Midwest Outdoors Magazine here, and we've got a great guest coming up, and just cannot wait to get this gentleman on the show with us. Let's do a little intro music.
Well, I love her, but I love the fish. I spend all day out on this lake in hell. Is all I catch. But today she met me at the door, said I would have to choose. If I hit that fishing hole today, she'd be packing all her things and she'd be gone by noon. Well, I'm gonna miss her.
Yeah, baby, I'm gonna miss her. Running with the Fishes, in his own words, Midwest Outdoors Magazine, legend in fishing, Mr. Gary Klein. Hey, Gary, welcome to the show, brother.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, glad to have you. First of all, congratulations for the cover story, Midwest Outdoors, in his own words, great article, by the way. And secondly, you have our condolences here from our show. You had to deal with Mr. Mark Strand.
Hey, he made it painless, the article. A lot of information there, but yeah, you know, that's just kind of the information you get from somebody that's never done anything else with their career but competitive angling.
Yeah, yeah. Mark's known for his interviews. He used to bring me beer to get me to talk.
Yeah, I kind of like that. Yeah.
So, Gary, lots of things I'd like to talk to you about, but let's talk about the tournament fisherman fishing circuit like it was when you started. I mean, tell our listeners when you started the tournament fishing and the difference back then and today.
Well, I mean, so much has changed. Obviously, you know, I think everything's changed for the better. It's okay. Completely different. Back in the early years, and I'm talking the early 70s, competitive angling was not known. I was born and raised in Northern California, basically grew up fishing and hunting. But I fish for everything. I mean, salmon, steelhead, stripers, you know, bass, just everything. That's just the way we were. But it was in the mid-70s when competitive angling kind of got going in California. And I know it was a kickoff of Ray out here back in the late 60s starting creating BASS. But anyhow, when you're young and you see a way that you can make prize money or win prize money fishing, I was all in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It was kind of like, man, this is easy, yeah, because I'm as good as everybody else. And thought, man, if I won a tournament every weekend, you know, I could make a pretty good living. But I have since learned that competitive angling is a very humbling sport. So no matter who you are or how good you think you are, about the time you think you got it figured out, they beat you. And that's probably also one of the intriguing things about fishing is that it always changes.
Yeah.
And I really appreciate the challenge. I enjoy it.
Yeah, you started out way back in the 70s. When did you do your first full tournament, get involved in the tournament?
Well, I started, my first, when I came out here when I came to the Midwest to start fishing BASS, it was 1979.
Okay.
But yeah, I had already competed in probably almost 100 events in California from 73
okay.
to 79, yeah.
One of the stories that I really enjoy, Gary, is the one where you were fishing a tournament when Bill Dance was in the lead, and then you came in. That's just an awesome story.
Yeah, it really is. You know, it's kind of like a young boy's dream come true, you know, because I grew up, I knew of Roland Martin, knew of Bill Dance, had the opportunity to meet those anglers. In 1975, they had a American Anglers tournament on Lake Orville in Northern California. So I met Roland and Mary Ann and Jimmy Houston and, you know, the whole group. But to actually come out and compete with Bill Dance, and that was my second BASS tournament of my career, and it was on Lake Powell. And to actually win it and beat Bill Dance, he finished second. I won the event. It was pretty awesome. And, you know, Bill and I have been close ever since then. He's just a great individual.
Yes, he is. Bill Dance is an awesome guy. I've known Bill a lot of years. I did a seminar in St. Louis, Missouri in like 83 where Bill was the headliner, and I came up before him, and we've been friends ever since. What a great guy.
Oh, he really is. You know, and here's the deal, is that I've known Bill, obviously, since 79, but every time, you know, I run into him at the annual sports shows and the classics and stuff like that. The one trip that I've always wanted to do ever since I was a little bitty runt was to go catfishing with Bill Dance on the Mississippi River.
Cool.
Because I know he catches a lot of them big ones, and
I
just haven't had a chance to do that yet, but we always talk about it.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Today's tournament's comparison to the amount of people in the tournament and the type of equipment.
Oh, and here's what's really happened is that obviously the sport is evolving.
Yeah.
The industry is evolving. In the early years, you showed up with your equipment. We didn't have good trolling motors. There was no good batteries. And everything was kind of iffy if you were going to survive the week. We always drew boat to boat. If your boat broke, then you just went with somebody else that had a boat and competed. I didn't really fish in team events. They were all heads-up draw events. And the electronics that we used back then were flashers. You know, there's no GPSs, et cetera, et cetera. And in fact, there was no cell phone.
Yeah.
So communication was kind of limited. But if you move that forward to the era that we're in today, the equipment from rods, reels, lines, lures, knots, outboard engines, boats, trolling motor batteries, power poles, you know, is absolutely phenomenal. And the young anglers of today are pretty mechanically sound. In other words, they've done their homework, they can cast good, they can skip, they can do everything. They kind of lack a little bit of the knowledge of the fish, which is just experience on the water.
Right.
But the anglers today are, you know, much better than the anglers were years ago in a shorter period of time. You know, it took us years to learn things. Now you can read something on the internet, buy it, modify it, and be fishing it the next day with confidence. So, but the other thing I want to add to all that is just from personal experiences, the fishing today is much better than the fishing was years ago. We have more bass in our reservoirs. They're bigger, and it is absolutely phenomenal. I mean, I still go out and have many, many 100 fish plus days. You know, I live close to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I'm using that for an example here in the state of Texas. We have so many good bodies of water that are within 30 minutes of my house, it's unreal. Fishing is better today than it's ever been.
That's in relation with hunting is the same thing here in Missouri with turkey hunting. What a difference turkey hunting was from the 70s to now.
It's unreal.
Yeah, exactly like you're talking about. So cool.
Yeah.
Tim, you got anything you'd like to say, Mr. Gary Klein?
Yeah, Gary, I'm wondering about the mortality rate of fish today that get caught in tournaments versus back in the day when you were getting started.
Right. Well, let me, that's a great question, and I get asked that an awful lot.
Okay.
But let me just say this, and this is always how I answer it, is that every angler that's competing in an event, and we travel across the country, I have to buy a non-resident angling license. And by purchasing that license, that gives me the right to catch and kill my limit of fish every day I'm on the water. Mm-hmm. Okay? And I don't remember the last time I've ever, you know, flayed one. So, but what I go on to say is if all of those anglers that were fishing on that body of water were to legally kill the fish that they caught, I mean, you know, there's nothing nobody can, you know, nobody can say anything about that.
Sure.
However, if you take a group of anglers that have the fishing license and they catch these fish and bring them in, weigh them in, and let's say a percentage of those fish do die, whatever the percentage is, the rest of that percentage is living. You know, so that's really a really good thing. Catch and release obviously is much better today than it used to be. We have, you know, like my big Triton live wells are huge.
Yeah.
I can carry 230-pound stringers and not have to worry about them. So the technology is advancing, and our fish care is absolutely, I think we average like a 98% release.
That's
and then,
high.
Of course, you know, major league fishing, we catch, weigh, and release so that we don't have any mortality. But, well, I mean, that's a good question, but
yeah.
Fair is fair.
Right.
And all these anglers are turning these fish loose, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, tell us about the major league fishing. You were instrumental in that starting.
Yeah, Boyd Duckett and myself are the two that kind of brainstormed and brought this together. And if somebody was to really pay attention to major league fishing, it would they could really relate to the fact that I wrote the rules, I designed the format. Because what I tried to do with creating major league fishing is basically I don't feel that bass competitive angling has ever been recognized as a sport. So that's the direction I'm trying to go with it.
Mm-hmm.
But the other thing is that I did away with a lot of things with conventional tournaments that I didn't like. Blast off, weigh in, fishing in the dark. I mean, what other sport do you compete against other individuals and not know where you stand at any time
until
at the end of the competition? So we did away with that. And here's the other thing, too, is that my family has been raised, you know, in competitive angling. You know, my wife's traveled with me for many, many years, and our girls were raised on the circuit. But, you know, when I take off in the morning, they have no idea how Dad's doing until I come back in the afternoon. With the Major League Fishing real-time leaderboard, now they can watch the competition.
Yeah.
Every fish.
That's cool.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Yeah,
yeah,
it is pretty cool to watch that.
That is. Boy, Gary, what an ambassador for fishing, and I'm sure that you're directly responsible for a lot of kids going fishing. And what was it like to you? I mean, this was your dream, of course, but you started out as a kid, 20 years old, you beat Bill Dance, and today, what's this like for you? Is it like a dream, or tell us a little bit about that.
Well, you know, like I said earlier, you know, in the beginning, I was no different than any other young teenager. You know, I lived with my parents, I had a bass boat, I had a car. Worked at the summer job, I didn't make enough money to pay all my bills.
Yeah.
So that's why I was living at the house. But to actually have tried something, and that right there was the whole key. I was young enough where I had no commitment, no obligations, and I was already broke. So for me to leave California and come out and fish the BASF circuit, the way I looked at it is that the worst thing I could do is go broke, and I was already broke.
You're already there? Okay.
Yeah, I was there, but I felt like it would at least be, you know, I wanted to go through life at least trying something that I enjoyed,
yes,
and competitive
indeed.
Angling was it, so I just pursued it. I never gave up. I have a passion for fishing. In fact, my daughters and I are going to go fishing this afternoon.
Awesome.
I fish all the time, and it's really a passion of mine. But I love to tinker, and I love trying to figure out a better way. I love to design and create.
That's awesome. Well, Gary, thank you so much for taking the time to be on the show with us. Was really looking forward to getting you on, and you did not what's the word for that?
Disappoint.
Disappoint. Thank you, Miss Tiny Tim.
The only thing wrong with the show is that we're all talking about fishing, and we're not
fishing.
Oh, I know.
Good point, Gary. Good point.
Get out of here.
Well, thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Let's get you back on another date in the fishing. You get a tournament or something. Let's get you back on the show, okay?
I would love to. Anytime, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, brother. Mr. Gary Klein, Running with the Fishes, in his own words, Midwest Outdoors Magazine, June issue. Thank you, Gary. We need to go to break, Matty G. On the other side, we're going to talk to the editor to put this together with Mr. Gary Klein, Mr. Mark Strand. See you on the other side, baby.